This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It certainly is the Final Hooter. This is our look at the rugby league scene. We are also the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. My name's Dave Parkinson. Welcome along to the show. So it's been a couple of weeks since we last took to the airwaves. Again, I'm without my compadre, my joint host, Adrian Jackson, who can't be with us tonight, but he is in the show, albeit as part of his interview process. So over the course of the next 40 minutes or so, you're going to be hearing from Justin Holbrook after St Helens defeated Hull Kingston Rovers in round 8 of the Super League. Steve Price gives us his thoughts after Warrington's decent win over London in round 9. Joe Philbin will also talk about his new contract and the upcoming game against St Helens. While it was a day to remember, if you're a Batley Bulldogs fan in the Championship, they defeated Widnes Vikings by 20 points to 18 last week. We'll be hearing from Matt Diskin as he assesses that performance. We'll also hear as well from Lee boss John Duffy, who was unhappy in victory after his side conceded a couple of late tries in a 46-30 defeat of Barrow. So plenty to come here on the Final Hooter.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
So let's get cracking, shall we? And I want to start, first of all, if I may, with the Challenge Cup results. So this Challenge Cup reached the Round 4 stage. And in Round 4, the following matches took place. Featherstone Lions hosted Doncaster, Keighley Cougars hosted Bradford Bulls, Newcastle Thunder travelled over to Workington Town, with Oldham hosting Widnes Vikings, Whitehaven were at home to Rochdale, Barrow at home to York City Knights, Hunslet, they hosted Halifax, with Sheffield Eagles at home to Lee Centurions, Batley Bulldogs took on Loch Lane, and Dewsbury Rams, they hosted West Hull. Two other Challenge Cup games took place, which were Featherstone against Swinton and Thattoe Heath Crusaders against North Wales Crusaders. And let's start with that one, because it's a massive congratulations that have to go to Thattoe Heath Crusaders, the amateur side from St Helens, accounting for the semi-professional North Wales Crusaders by 16 points to 14. A deserved victory. They controlled it from the outset, got themselves into a lead, and although being really pegged back in the final analysis, well, it was still a decent effort, a very, very decent effort from Thattoe Heath Crusaders, who won by 16 points to 14. Featherstone Rovers, they accounted for Swinton Lions by 38 points to 14. Dewsbury Rams defeated West Hull 32-6. Batley, they had the success against Loch Lane, 62 points to 6, with Lee winning on the road at Sheffield, 34 points to 12. Halifax just getting the better of Hunslet by 28 to 24. York City Knights having too much for Barrow Raiders, winning 32-16 up in Cumbria. Rochdale Hornets scoring two tries in the last 9 minutes for an unbelievable comeback against Whitehaven. They won by 22 points to 21. Widnes Vikings had a safe passage into the next round by virtue of a 54-14 win against Oldham. That game was played at Staley Bridge. While Workington Town, as they had done the week before in League One, just held off Newcastle Thunder to win 21 points to 20. Bradford Bulls suffered a scare against Keighley Cougars, but managed to hold them off to win 14 points to 12. And Featherstone Lions, they hosted Doncaster and ended up losing by 46 points to 6. So other than the Thattoe Heath result, no upset. Special mention for Hunslet with the way they performed against Halifax. Lee Centurions also turned it on against a team that has been in form in the Championship. That is Sheffield Eagles, of course, the team that's been in form. And a bit of a mention for Batley as well. I mean, a great result for them to run in 60 points past Loch Lane. That means that we do have some forthcoming fixtures in the Challenge Cup. That's all happening this coming weekend. So in round 5, Thursday night sees Halifax take on London Broncos. Hull Kingston Rovers, they host Lee Centurions. Friday night sees Leeds Rhinos take on Workington Town. And Rochdale Hornets travel over to Salford Red Devils. On Saturday in the Challenge Cup, it's Widnes Vikings taking on York City Knights. And on Sunday, just the three fixtures from Bradford Bulls against Featherstone. Doncaster hosts Batley Bulldogs, and Thatto Heath Crusaders rewarded for knocking out the North Wales Crusaders with another home tie. That's against Dewsbury Rams, and they'll be looking for back-to-back victories against semi-professional teams. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fantastic.
Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your feel better station.
Radio General.
That leads us nicely onto Super League and the results as they were from round 8 of the competition. So Leeds Rhinos just account for Castleford Tigers, that being a golden point extra time win. The drop goal coming in from Brad Dwyer, the first of his career. And I tell you what, it was one heck of a drop goal as well from about 40 metres out. So it was Leeds Rhinos 21, Castleford Tigers 20. Hull FC 12, Warrington 63. And the Blake Austin show came to town in Hull. He was fantastic on the night. I think it was 4 tries he scored. He really is coming too. Meanwhile, over at Wakefield, they had an important victory against Salford by 33 points to 22. Huddersfield Giants accounted for London Broncos by 38 points to 26. And even Wigan were able to pick up a victory, defeating Catalans 42 points to nil at the DW Stadium. And there was a couple of interesting comments after that one with their boss Adrian Lamb saying that his backline is the best in Super League. I think the guys over at St Helens and Warrington will have something to say. And talking of St Helens, they too were successful, winning against Hull Kingston Rovers by 36 points to 24. And what I want to do is bring in our first interview, because after that particular encounter, our man Steve Manning caught up with the St Helens coach, Justin Holbrook, and this is what they had to say.
Well, Justin, it's always been said there's no easy game in Super League, and that's certainly sure tonight.
No, absolutely. You know, really tough game, and we started obviously really well, and Hull KR played some really good rugby league to get themselves in front at half time, and then our boys were fantastic in the second half. So, you know, it was something we had to discuss and get right in the second half. And as I said, I thought the players did a tremendous job, obviously having so many late changes and people playing in different positions and losing your halfback after 20 and your front row up, you know, 45 minutes before the game and things like that. So I thought the players handled that really well, and to come away with a win, that's awesome for us tonight.
Then you give them the respect, you level the game up, and then Carl Amor, who's came off the bench, it just shows how much he's thought of the player. I think everybody jumped on him, didn't they, when he scored that try?
Yeah, that's right. He's a real popular guy in our group, Cole, and he's obviously missed the last couple of games and was desperate to play tonight, and then for him to get a try was awesome. I'm happy for him.
Just talk about one of the injuries. Tio Farge went out after 20 minutes and it left you out of kilter, but it meant that you could put Jack Welsby, which in my opinion is his best position. You probably know better than I do, but from centre to that sort of thing. And he didn't look out of place, did he, throughout the all 80?
Yeah, he's an outstanding young player, Jack. So, yeah, as you said, he's equally confident playing in the half. So we had to move him from centre, which is easy, to 5'8", and he did a good job.
So, yeah, Jack Welsby there, impressing for St Helens. He's a kid with a massive future, to be honest, is Jack Welsby. Very, very good, whether playing at fullback, at centre, or as Steve and Justin alluded to there, at halfback as well. So yeah, he's got plenty to come. So that was your round 8. What actually happened in round 9? So all these games took place last weekend, and it finished Castleford Tigers 38, Wigan Warriors 28. Special mention there for Oliver Gildart, who scored 2 tries in a losing side. But even more of a mention for big Matt Cook for Castleford Tigers. Very, very effective alongside Mitch Clark, who was also excellent coming forward. And in fact, that was the main difference. You look at the metres that the middlemen made for Castleford Tigers, they totally eclipsed the Wigan Warriors counterparts, and that was a great result. Very entertaining game as well, although it could have been very, very different had Zach Hardacre managed to keep his kicking boots. He only kicked 2 from 6 attempts. But yeah, fantastic game, fantastic advert. And St Helens, they'd been 8-0 of their first 8 games. They'd won them all. They'd been top of the table. They'd look comfortable. They came up against the Catalans Dragons that were smarting from that defeat at Wigan the previous week. And Catalans defeated them by 18 points to 10. Yaha, Tompkins and Zhigo scoring, with Tompkins kicking three goals as well. For Saints, it was tries from Peyrou and Makinson, Coote kicking one goal, but it was never going to be quite enough for St Helens. And on what was a real, a real wet pitch, Catalans took control. Their big forwards seemed to have the better of it. Another team that had the better of proceedings this past weekend was Hull Kingston Rovers. They defeated Leeds Rhinos by 45 points to 26. And I've got to be honest, I was watching this after about 20 minutes. The scoreline could have been anything. Every time that Hull KR got inside the Leeds 20, they scored. So Tommy Lee, Danny Maguire and Big Oaks scoring in the first sort of 15 minutes. That was followed up by Mitch Garber, to must be laughing on the other side of his face now, having been released by Leeds, because he's playing some real consistent stuff in the middle for Hull KR this year. And Vivi scored just after the half-hour mark. It was 31 points to 10 at half-time. Hull Kingston Rovers almost had the game sewn up. I say almost because the Rhinos did give themselves a little bit of a sniff with a couple of tries from Conrad Hurrell at the end of the first half. He doubled his tally in the second half with two more tries to finish with four tries. But I get the feeling they're a team very much in transition at the moment to Leeds Rhinos, not playing particularly well, not playing particularly sparkling rugby at all. And I don't know about you, but I get the feeling it's almost as if their game plan is just, right, toss it out to the left-hand side, see what Conrad Hurrell will do. It's akin to, I don't know, under-12s rugby, when you've got a big lad out in centres, chuck it to the big lad, see what he can do. And, you know, they're going to need a little bit more. They're going to need a little bit better, I feel, as well. And I think the fans deserve a little bit better as well. But take nothing away from Hull Kingston Rovers. They came up with a very professional performance. Came back in the second half to make things clear with late tries from Drinkwater and Crooks. Hall had a brilliant game, despite stumbling when he came to kick-off at one point. He kicked 8 goals from 10 attempts. Maguire haunting his old side with a drop goal to add to his earlier try. Leeds Rhinos finishing with a score from Singleton. Liam Sutcliffe kicking 3 goals, but they were a distinct second best. Another side that was second best was Salford Red Devils. They're now 4 losses on the trot, and that's got the boss Ian Watson tearing his hair out at the minute. Hull were the team to plunder the points from Salford. Griffin scoring a hat-trick, former Salford player of course, Sneed kicking 5 goals and a drop goal, as well as Hull got themselves up off the canvas following that massive defeat against Warrington the previous week to win by 23 points to 16. It was the odd point that won it for Wakefield, that coming from Danny Brough 4 minutes from the end, a drop goal as he did the previous week against Salford. But even more important, and maybe noteworthy, the form of David Fifita at the moment. I'm a big fan of forwards really trucking it through the middle and offering a little bit of something different. Fifita does this. He's got some fantastic footwork. He's pretty quick. He's nimble on his feet for a big fella. And he's strong as an ox as well. And I've seen the couple of tries he scored. Absolutely tremendous. And it was Wakefield who defeated Huddersfield Giants by 17 points to 16. Over at Warrington, a hat-trick from Tom Liner, who's just agreed a new contract with the Wolves, saw them over the line against London Broncos. They were leading 20 points to nil at half-time. Liner scoring that hat-trick. Other tries coming from Josh Charnley. Austin scoring a couple of times as well. And Jason Clark going over for his first Warrington try, as well as Ratchford and Atkins. Ratchford finished with 6 goals as well to finish with a 16-point tally for the game. The Broncos, well, they played some good stuff and they threw the ball around in patches. Mason and G scoring the tries for them, with Dixon hitting both of his attempts at goal. After the game, well, our man in the field was Adrian Jackson, and he caught up with Steve Price, and this is their conversation.
I thought it was a professional display. You know, to think back up 9 tries to 2 against a team who, you know, been playing some reasonable footy of late. So yeah, it was overall it was a good result for us.
And a good solid start as well, and maintained it.
Yeah, we had to defend our try line, you know, for a number of sets here on our try line, and You know, we kept turning them away, and it was a high penalty count. It evened up, you know, as the game went by through that middle part of the, you know, the first half. But yeah, it was a good opportunity to get, you know, some really good minutes into, you know, Jason Clark, Joe Philbin, Matty Davis, and, you know, also Danny Walker. You know, got a fair few minutes too to replace, you know, Dale Clark. So yeah, it was a I thought it was a fantastic roll-up of support. You know, we filled that Western Grandstand with all kids. I thought it was you know, a great initiative by the club.
I can say a lot of them kids have got their first taste of rugby there, and they've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, and hopefully we can, you know, attract more kids to play our great game, and because it is a really good you know, game. So you know, I think we had, you know, over 2,000 supporters in that Western Grandstand. So you know, all the local kids around Warrington for a pound got to see some rugby play, which I thought was great.
Some well taken tries as well, and a hat trick for Tom Wyndham, and a good beat for him because he got a new contract as well.
Yeah, Tommy's he's come back and showed what type of player he is. He's the last 2 weeks he's been fantastic for us, and you know, they're the type of displays I expect from him.
Joel Philbin as well, getting a contract with Toby King, so it's good to see them guys being rewarded as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we see them, you know, them playing, you know, Toby and, you know, Joe Philbin and all those type of guys playing a big part of our future in years to come. And, you know, they're at a, you know, really good age to, you know, be the, you know, next generation of, you know, Warrington Wolves players.
It's another win. Next week it's St Helens. That can be a real test of the winning sequence.
Yeah, 1v2. It's going to be a, you know, quality game of football. And they play tomorrow against Catlins. They've been playing some really good football, consistent football, and, you know, so are we. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a really good, hard game, and one game that we're really looking forward to.
It's going to be full of confidence as well.
Yeah, certainly. There's no reason why they're not. They're, you know, the boys have been playing some really good football, and, you know, scoring, you know, a number of tries, and, you know, they're a happy bunch. They, you know, they love working hard, and you know, it's typifying in their, you know, their display of rugby.
So there he is, Steve Price, giving his assessment there to Adrian Jackson. We'll hear from Adrian again in just a few seconds' time.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It certainly is the Final Hooter here, both on Radio General and via the Love Rugby League website. This is, of course, the podcast as far as Love Rugby League is concerned. My name's Dave Parkinson, and if you've just joined me, where have you been? Have you heard Justin Holbrook talking about St Helens defeating Hull Kingston Rovers in round 8? The less said about the round 9 performance at Catalans Dragons, the better. But let's be honest, Catalans coming up with a great result there to beat the previously top of the table St Helens by 18 points to 10. You've just missed Steve Price as well, giving his thoughts after Warrington's win over London Broncos, a win that was 48 points to 12 in its magnitude and put the Wolves top of the Super League table. They have now played 9, won 8 and lost 1, scored over 300 points as well during those first 9 games of the season. So they're going fantastically well at the moment. You also heard Adrian Jackson pitting his questions as far as Steve Price was concerned. He talked about Joe Philbin, and Philbin, well, he's one of the guys, one of three players that agreed contract. So the others were Toby King and Tom Lynham. Lynham, as I mentioned previously, scored a hat-trick against London Broncos. But let us hear from Joe Philbin and his thoughts about signing that deal and also coming up against St Helens in what should be a great Super League encounter at the weekend.
It's always big games in Super League, and next week doesn't come any bigger than first versus second, Warrington versus St Helens.
What a game it's going to be, eh? Yeah, you know, it's they'll be coming hard for us, and we'll be going hard for them. And I'm expecting probably the best 80 minutes of rugby we'll have seen so far. You know, we'll be really excited for that. You know, we'll have a big week in training and big build up, and bring on next Friday night at Langtree Park.
I suppose tonight's win that ends up what is a good week for yourself, where you got a new contract.
Yeah, I'm buzzing to get that over the line. You know, being a Warrington lad and that, it does mean a lot to me. And you know, I don't have that contract thing looming over my head now, and I can really concentrate on my rugby. But yeah, what a week! Like I say, over the moon to be extending, and because I feel like there's exciting times coming here with, under Steve Price. We're building a real good squad. We're playing some tough rugby, and you know, it's exciting times.
That's bad your time to be to get a regular game. Do you feel part of the first team squad now?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and being a prop forward, you know, it does take time, because it's a position where you've got to be big like physical, and it takes you a few years to get that physicality and get that man strength, so to speak. So it took me a while, but you know, I'm very, very happy with how it's going at the minute. Very happy with my game time, and you know, just keep trying to get better each week, and you know, and we drive high standards here at Warrington, so I feel like we're doing that.
And you've got another 2.5 years to cement yourself as probably one of the all-time greats, maybe.
Well, who knows? I mean, Super Benny Westwood's my hero, and if I could do half of what he'd done, I'd be very, very, very happy. But you know, I don't look at that. I just go week by week. What can I do to get better? What can I do to improve from the week before? And you know, if good things come, then I'll be more than happy to take them.
That sounds like what the team are doing, doesn't it? Really, week by week.
That's it, because you can't get carried away. I mean, there's so many games. I think it's about 40 games we played last year, which is, but that's an argument in itself. There's too much, but you know, if you can't start thinking about October and whatnot, because you'll get bit on the backside. There's so many quality teams. Look at London tonight. If we weren't on our steel tonight, they'd have turned us over. They'd have turned a lot of teams over tonight. The way they played, shut the ball about. They're a tough team to play against, but you know, we were very professional, very. Pretty ruthless, I'd say, which was nice to see.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
There's a bit of an advert for Joe Philbin, eh? He's buzzing at his new contract, and he's now got all his man strength. There you go. Never let it be said that we don't get the personalities here on the Love Rugby League podcast, The Final Hooter. My name's Dave Parkinson. In fact, we'll just have just a roundup of what we've got to look forward to this coming weekend. The four fixtures to look forward to, which will complete round 10 of the competition. Huddersfield Giants are at home to Castleford Tigers. St Helens face Warrington in that massive, massive game over at Langtree Park. That's the TV fixture as well, as is the first one that I mentioned as well, between Huddersfield and Castleford. So Huddersfield Cassies on Thursday, St Helens v Warrington is Friday night. Also that night is Wakefield Trinity at home to Wigan Warriors. And could it get more inconsistent for Wigan? They've had a player who's been suspended by the anti-doping people, Gabe Hamlin, packed off back to Australia. Can it get worse? Will it get better for Wigan either? Guess we'll have to wait and see. Catalans Dragons, they're at home on Saturday, taking on Hull FC. So that's your fixtures. Huddersfield against Cass, St Helens against Warrington, Wakefield against Wigan, and Catalans Dragons against Hull. Right, now we're going to move on. And we're going to talk Championship. That's all coming up after these words.
Radio General.
Radio General.
Yes, so let us move into the Championship. And what an interesting weekend we saw just this one just gone. There was an upset defeat for Widnes Vikings. More about that in a minute. But Bradford Bulls held off a spirited Dewsbury Rams, winning 20 points to 12. A couple of tries there from Grant, who's done well to come back from injury. And Dalton Grant it is. He's had a bit of a wretched time regarding injury. There was also a move for Elliot Minchella, who showed his versatility and goal-kicking value to the Bulls. I think Minchella started off in the back row, ended up moving out to play in the centres after injury. And Bradford finding a way to win, defeating Dewsbury by 20 points to 12. There was also a win for York. They defeated Swinton 30 points to 20. Although there was a lot of praise for the way that Swinton performed. It was a lively first half for the hosts, who led by 18 points to 4, thanks in the main to a two-try performance from Matty Marsh, who's coming into some semblance of form. He was in some real good form from the midpoint of last season, really. He's starting to show that type of form again. Very, very good player on his day. But Swinton, as I say, gaining a lot of praise. They've got 10 players who are sitting on the sideline at the moment, which, when you've got fairly limited numbers, is a massive amount. And they gave everything, just going down by 30 points to 20. There was also another victory victory for Toronto. They beat Sheffield by 40 points to 10. This game took place down in the capital. Matty Russell, the former Warrington man, scored two tries. Blake Wallace was really the class apart, though, in the halfback role. He scored two tries, laid on another couple as well, and he does look really, really good this season. He looks even sharper than last year, if that is possible. Toronto eventually wore down Sheffield. It had been a good effort from the Eagles. There was a massive effort from particularly the backfield of Sheffield, because Toronto got over the line a number of times, and but for the defence of Josh Guzdek in particular, the fullback was in fantastic form, did so well to hold about four tries up behind his own goal line. Joel Farrell was also outstanding as well for the visitors. Now I say visitors, they're both visitors really, aren't they, with Toronto playing this series of games in this country. But a good win that for Toronto, winning by 40 points to 10 in the end. In Toulouse, well, just the one try to tell you about. It was an 8 points to 2 victory as far as the Toulouse Olympique side are concerned. Again, slippy conditions, similar to how the ones that affected St Helens and Catalans in the Super League game. Tyler Heppe scoring the only try. He's a good forward, Tyler Heppe. I hope that he ends up moving on and gaining a lot more recognition, because he is one of those guys that you can just chuck on. He'll do your big minutes. He's got a big engine. He'll do real damage if you get him running on an edge as well, and certainly at some players. Over at Halifax, they're all smiles again. They went over to Rochdale and won by 48 points to 24. It included a star turn from James Woodburn-Hall, this time playing in the halfback role. He can play out in the centres. He's played a bit at fullback as well. But Woodburn-Hall, the former London man, scored a hat-trick. Great performance from him. Steve Tyrer also found his point-scoring form again. 20 points in the game, courtesy of two tries and six goals. Although, you have to ask questions regarding Halifax, because they only led by 22 points to 18 at half-time. Rochdale putting a lot of pressure on, scored some cracking tries. I saw one which their boss, Foster, has scored, and he shows some brilliant footwork, but ultimately not enough to overcome Halifax, who won by 48 points to 24 on the day. I'll move on to this Batley game, because the sides were locked at 6-6 at half time. It was Batley against Widnes Vikings, 6-6 at half time. Batley going up the hill in the first half, Widnes coming downhill. And as we all know, there's a real pronounced slope there at Mount Pleasant. The Scottish fullback of Batley, Dave Scott, held his nerve. He was the hero with four goals from four attempts, which also included a penalty 3 minutes from the end. And special mention as well for Louis Geoffrey, the Frenchman, really settling in and putting some consistent performances for Batley. For Widnes, well, they were well in the game. They actually got themselves in front by 18 points to 12 before being pegged back. They had a chance to draw it again near the end, but it was a missed penalty from Jack Owens which told against them. We're going to now hear from Matt Diskin. He was in conversation, was the Batley coach, with our Adrian Jackson.
Well, Matt Diskin, what a game that was against Widnes today, and you got the win.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I thought it was a great game of rugby from both teams. I thought both teams really played with the ball and defended exceptionally well. And for anybody paying support today, they certainly got the money worth. It was a fantastic game.
From a Batley point of view, though, great performance.
I thought it was. I thought, you know, defensively we showed a lot of character, particularly when we were down to 10 men. And they ran in a couple of tries, you know, in previous weeks we'd have folded over and conceded a couple more. We showed some great character from that. And I thought the halfbacks were really good as well. They played at the line, you know, played with some tempo. And, you know, Widnes gave them a little bit of pressure, probably a bit too much for my liking. But, you know, they kept playing at the line and they kept putting the centres and back rows one-on-one with people. And that's what we're asking of them. They did it exceptionally well.
And the fairness hill proved dividends in the second half for us.
Yeah, you know, the hill for everybody else seems like a massive issue for us. It's just, it's irrelevant. So, you know, end of the first half, we were really unfortunate not to come in with more points. I thought we could have been in the lead, you know, with a couple of interceptions stopping us there. But they played the second half really well. Witness played really well coming up the slope. You know, I don't think the slope really had an hindrance in how good of a quality game it was.
Mm. Witness are the informed team in the Championship coming into this, so for yourself to win today, it must be disappointing to have lost the other four before this game.
Yeah, you know, we got what deserved out of the other four. We've been doing some real quality stuff, but not for long enough periods. And, you know, we've not been transferring what we're doing on the training field to the playing paddock. And we've done that today from 1 to 8. It's as structured and as disciplined as I've seen them, and they worked very hard for each of them. It was very proud for me to watch and see that.
Great team effort. Who was the standout performer for you guys?
I thought there were a few, mate. I thought, you know, Paul Brearley playing in the centre, which is a natural for him, I thought it was outstanding. There were some big performances by the middles as well. And, you know, I thought it's hard to single people out, but I thought they were exceptional from 1 to 17.
So Batley, pretty inconsistent so far this season. They've played 9 games so far this year. Only won 2 of them, lost the other 7. So certainly consistency is the key over there at Batley Bulldogs. Maybe they'll start to get it though, because that is a top result against Widnes Vikings. Widnes, of course, remain bottom with 0 points, but they have wiped out the deficit that they were handed for going into administration. So they've actually won 6 of their 8 games. But I think that's a massive, massive result as far as the Championship is concerned. Lee Centurions, they also had a winning game against Barrow Raiders. They won by 46 points to 30. There was a hat-trick from Ian Thornley. Adam Swift came in as a dual registered player from St Helens. He scored 2 tries on his debut. Josh Wood scored his first try for the club whilst coming in on loan from Wigan. Greg McNally also scored his 100th try from a Lee point of view, becoming only the 11th player in history to reach that mark. And I'm hoping that we can catch up with Greg to have a chat about just what that means to him in the coming weeks. But one guy that I did catch up with was boss John Duffy, and you wouldn't think the Centurions had won. John, congratulations on the win, but that was a right curate's egg of a performance, that wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful to watch, but all credit to Barrow. Thought they were outstanding, you know, they stuck to their game plan really well. Came to frustrate us and slow it down, and you know, we were just off with our attitude, and that's all we spoke about. So credit to Barrow today, real poor from us, but we deserved it. But 2 points, and we move on to Challenge Cup now on Thursday.
You stepped it up at certain points of the game, and you always felt that there was that in it.
Yeah, when we needed to, but it's not good enough, is it? You know. But like I said, Barrow deserve all the credit today, because they came and had a right dig into us. Their middles were superb. I thought they were a lot more aggressive than ours. And they got what they deserved out of the game, and took us close. So we've got to learn to make sure we're on it every week, and we can't have a game off, because I thought we tossed that off today.
What can you put that down to, though?
Attitude. Mentality, and that's it. And that's all we spoke about all week, just our attitude and our mentality going into the game, and we were just soft. I've never seen us cut up like that through the middle all season. It's just not what we... It's just not how we do things, and not good enough. But I'm glad we got the result.
Looking at things a little bit more positively, you had Ian Thornley there with a hat-trick.
Yeah, really good. I think that's been coming with Ian as well. He's got more confidence every week. And deserved that hat-trick today. We got to move on from today quickly. Boys will have to do some recovery now, and we'll be in tomorrow night, get this out the way, and look forward to OKR on Thursday, which is going to be a bit of a mammoth task after watching that today. They played well the other night. I thought they were superb the other night, and obviously well coached and full time, so we've got to go there with the right game plan, and make sure we turn up with the right attitude, because we weren't on it today with that. Big well done to Greg McNally again, his 100th try as well. I think there's only 10 players done that at the club before. Massive achievement, well deserved by him, but not happy with the way we performed today.
talking about well-deserved, and there was a big performance which came in from Barrow front rower Glenn Riley in this game. I know he's sort of been through the Super League ringer, if you like. He's come through a Warrington system, and he's been sort of like at different Cumbrian clubs, but he really does look like he's got himself in a good frame. He played exceptionally well in the second half, and the Papua New Guinea players of Barrow also impressed. So Watovo Puara and Willie Minoga both did a good job as well. From a Lee point of view, I felt it was cue on the rack a little bit too early, and I'm sure that they will learn from that. They're going to have to up against Hull Kingston Rovers in the cup this coming weekend.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So this is the final hooter. This is Radio General. This is Love Rugby League as well. So if you're listening, thank you very much indeed for your support and your continued comments as well, which continue to come through. If you do want to send me a comment, by all means, you can do. It's at Deeparky Rugby over on Twitter. So if you want to say about anything that's going on, you want us to be talking about something in particular on the podcast, let me know. Moving on to League One, the Betfred League One also saw, well, some really interesting games that took place this past weekend. London Scholars hosted Workington Town, and it was all looking as if it was going to plan for Workington in the first half. They'd built a 26 points to 10 half-time advantage. However, they hadn't judged on a four-try second-half performance from London Scholars, which won it for the hosts in the end. Amongst their try scorers, Ilias McCarney scored two. Now, he came through over at London Broncos. So too did Amari Caro, and he grabbed a try as well. So they've got two really athletic outside backs there. And after that win, that suggests where London Scholars could actually go this season. So I'm interested to see just how they develop as well. For Keighley Cougars, well, they're still in the minus points after going into administration, but they've actually won three of the five matches so far in the Betfred League One. They defeated West Wales in the latest win by 56 points to 12. Jack Miller, it was, who claimed a hat-trick, and halfback partner Ben Hardcastle coming up with 24 personal points courtesy of two tries and eight goals. Over at Doncaster, it was nip and tuck at half-time between them and Coventry Burghs. So at half-time, Doncaster led by 16 points to 12, but a really impressive second half saw them home by 44 points to 18. Connor Bauer was the man who impressed there with a two-try contribution, so look out for him developing over the course of the season. And a real special mention as well for Whitehaven. They got a great 16 points to 12 success over Hunslet. The star of the show was a lad called D&I, who's been there for a few years now. He's a Papua New Guinean player, and he's one of these guys who's really versatile, so he can play at loose forward, he can play at centre, he can play at halfback. He started at loose forward, and sadly, injuries to the back line meant there had to be a big reshuffle for the Whitehaven side, and he went in at halfback and apparently played his socks off, had his best game in a Whitehaven shirt. This was a game that generally saw defences on top. However, it's one that Hunslet coach Gary Thornton has already said was a massive disappointment. Newcastle had a great result as well. They pipped Oldham by 28 points to 22. Now, Oldham, they were in charge at half-time. They'd scored four first-half tries. They led by 22 points to 10. But it was like a turnaround, a complete turnaround in the second half, as they scored 18 points without reply. Winger Alex Clegg was the star. He contributed a hat-trick in that one. So let us have a look before we go at just where everything is up to. So as far as League One is concerned, Hunslet are still top of the table with 8 points, but breathing down their neck is Whitehaven, also in the playoff picture, and Newcastle Thunder, Oldham, Workington Town and Doncaster. Then you have London Scholars and Coventry Burghs, North Wales Crusaders, West Wales Raiders and Keighley Cougars down at the bottom on that one. In the Betfred Championship, it's Toronto Wolfpack out on top with a 2-point advantage ahead of Toulouse Olympique. York City Knights, Sheffield Eagles and Lee Centurions are the rest of the top five as it stands currently. But breathing down Lee's neck are Bradford, Halifax and Featherstone, who have between 10 and 8 points between them. Then there's a little bit of a gap, and you have Dewsbury Rams, Batley Bulldogs, Barrow Raiders and Swinton Lions in the relegation zone at the minute, Rochdale Hornets and Widnes Vikings. Your Super League table, well, that's got Warrington out on top with 8 wins from the 9 fixtures, just ahead on point difference of St Helens, who have won the same amount of games. Castleford Tigers are sitting in third despite a little bit of a rocky form as far as they're concerned, but they've managed to overcome it with that latest victory against Wigan. They are third. Wakefield Trinity are in fourth. Hull in fifth, and there's not much between a lot of these sides, as you've got Catalans in sixth, Salford in seventh, Hull Kingston Rovers in eighth. And all those sides that I've mentioned from Wakefield down have got either 10 or 8 points. So it's real, real close. Close as well in the bottom four, Wigan with 6 points, Huddersfield Giants with 6, London Broncos with 6, and Leeds Rhinos. Who would have thought Leeds Rhinos, bottom of the table? There's still plenty to run and plenty to listen to here on Radio General. This has been the Final Hooter. I've been Dave Parkinson, and I'll see you again very soon.